Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Sirius FM as well as Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program, Al Fiqhu ala al Madahib al Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. The date today is the 28th of Muharram 1447, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 24th of July 2025. Let's welcome Mufti Saab, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa nazaid khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, our topic today is Nikah Part 2. But before we go to that, Mufti Saab, what is the important notices for the Ummah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today is the 28th of Muharram 1447. So now tomorrow will be the 29th, and tomorrow evening after Maghrib, we should scan the sky and look for the new moon and crescent. If it is sighted, it's 20 hour moon, so it's 50-50. So maybe it's sighted, maybe not sighted. If it's sighted, then Saturday will be the first of Safar. And if it's not sighted, then Sunday will be the first of Safar. But we should make a concerted effort tomorrow evening. After Maghrib, we should scan the sky, inshallah. Two, the condition day in Gaza al-Mubarakah is going from bad to worse, and condition is deteriorating. So Allah alone have mercy on them. Allah decimate the Jutlas, the Haramis, and all these Arab regimes in America and Europe that are assisting them, Britain and so forth and so on. So then we should always make dua for them, and Allah Jalla Wala grant their martyrs Jannat al-Firdaus. And all these zalim, this Gaza has shown us that all these Western powers and so forth, all double standards and so forth. If you just take Saddam Hussein, how many people he killed? So 100, 200,000, and then they hanged him, they executed him in public basically. And this guy killed, I must remember, 50, 60, 70, 100,000 people, and he's still running around, and he should be hanged in public. Not only he, Netanyahu, Smotrich, Ben-Gvir, a whole lot of them remember that. But because they are the blue-eyed boy of the West, remember, America, Britain, Europe, and so forth, so therefore they feel they can get away with impunity. But the tide is turning, inshallah. Allah Jalla will deal with them. Allahumma alayka bil yahudi zalimin wa man wa'alahum. And all these Arab regimes and India and so forth, their turn will come inshallah very, very soon. Third one, that Trump is again more and more humiliated daily. So he wants to hide all about the Epstein files and all that, but his attorney general told him already that your name is there in many places in that Epstein files. And you know, he's a pedophile and so forth. So now he wants to just, like, you know, cover up and everything. But Allah Ta'ala is disgracing him. So that is what happens. You must remember that. And fourth one, in our South African, yeah, two stories. One is about Sahuk. We told you yesterday. But a new development took place yesterday. That the Sunni Jamiatul Ulama, where credit is due, we must give credit. They went to Asif Latif. Asif is our lawyer, we know him very well, our connection also. And he wrote a wonderful letter to Sahuk and humiliated Sahuk. And now I sent out something on my status and so forth. Who are the members of Sahuk and so forth and so on? And they got 36 million rand in assets. Understood? So you must remember that, yeah. So you must look at their assets and everything there, then you'll come to know. So there's, and then there's a lot of stories, undercurrents going on there. So Allah have mercy. I can tell you there's going to be big, big problems before the next Hajj come. Meaning, we still in Muharram, Hajj 1447, 2026. You can see big problems going to happen. Allah have mercy on them. Remember this. And this, you know, I just make shukr. We perform Hajj many times without all these shenanigans and so forth. And then this haram story of the MJC. So the Hazrat Mohan Ahmad Sadiq, they say, you see, he uses the right words. He said, they are the king of pork. You understand? The pork kings they are. So 100% is right. You must remember that. So these are the things that, so what we must learn lesson from all this. As-sa'idu man hu'idha bighayrihi. Who is the fortunate ones who takes and derives lessons from other people? Are we really concerned what we consume? Are we really concerned what our children eat? Yeah, just go anywhere and just eat. Halal logo, that halal logos are not worth the paper on which they are written, irrespective of which company, which organization it is. So it's like that. You must remember that. And remember that who's worried about the Hajj and that? They say, man, we got money, we'll just go in. So it's not that. You have to see how they're exploiting the people. Remember that. And it is, you know, that now imagine you have to pray for Hajj. Now Sahuk must get money, the agent must get money, and the Saudi shaitan must get money. So triple tax you are getting, understood? So they're getting circumcised, not once, they're getting circumcised thrice, basically. So like that, you see. So that is the big problem there. So Allah will musta'an, Allah have mercy on us and on the ummah itself.
Mufti Sahib, when we speak of nikah, what's the history of nikah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Jalla wa'ala created the first human being, and he was Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam. Therefore, the Quran Sharif, various places say, Ya Bani Adam. The word Adam, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam, is mentioned 25 times in the Noble Quran. Inna masala Isa, inna laika masala Adam. The similitude of Nabi Adam is what Nabi Isa alayhi salam. The similitude of Nabi Isa alayhi salam is like Nabi Adam alayhi salam. So in number wise, remember that both of them are mentioned 25 times in the Quran. Both of them didn't have a father. Nabi Adam alayhi salam didn't have a mother as well. So we should know Allah is showing us His Qudrat Kamila, His complete power. So obviously now he is there in Jannah, but Ya Allah, I'm lonely, Ya Allah. I need some companion, company and companionship. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. You see, everything you want to know, you will find in the Quran Sharif. You will find in the Sunnah Mubarakah. So He Almighty Allah created you, O human being, that from Him, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam. And then Nabi Adam alayhi salam was alone there in Jannah. Then waja'ala minha zawjaha, from him, a minha, a min nafsi wahida. So from him Allah Ta'ala created his spouse, so you must remember that. And from where? From the drip of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam is mentioned in Mishkat and Musnad Ahmad and so forth and so on. Why? Liyaskuna ilayha. So that they get sukoon, they get peace, they get tranquility, serenity. So without wife, you won't get peace and tranquility. Without husband, you won't get peace and tranquility and serenity. Chapter number 7, Surah A'raf, verse number 189. So there Allah is showing us. So now when she was created, now she is in Jannah. So then, now Nabi Adam alayhi salam wants to go and touch her. Allah says, stop, you can't touch her. Nikah must be performed. So who will perform the nikah? Allah Jalla wa'ala performed the nikah, you see. They said, okay, now the nikah is done, let me go touch. He said, no, stop. So why now? Say, you must pay mahar. Subhanallah, was the mahar? Send salawat, salutation, durood sharif upon him. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 20 durood, 30 durood, whatever the ulama have written. In Zadu Sa'id is mentioned also. So there you must remember, so the first nikah was the nikah of Nabi Adam alayhi salam to Sayyidah Hawa radiallahu anha. And the mahar was the salawat durood sharif. And you know, you say, At-tarikhu yu'idu nafsahu. History repeats itself. So tomorrow in Jannah, in paradise, who will perform the nikah? We will have the Hur-e-Een and the beautiful damsels and women of Jannah. But there won't be no jealousy and so forth between the wives and our wife and them. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلِّنْ We remove all the malice, jealousy, hatred, envy, all that. So that is removed from them. So yea, it shows that Allah will perform the nikah. Chapter 44, Surah Dukhan, verse 54. وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورِ نَعِينَ We will perform their nikah with the damsels and beautiful women in Jannah. The only person to whom it happened in this world is Sayyida Zainab binti Jahsh. She was a paragon of beauty. She was told that now you must marry Zayd. Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anh, and he was not such a handsome person and so forth. But it was a command of Almighty Allah, the command and instruction of the Master alayhi salatu salam. Lo and behold, they got married. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed them to get married also. But they were not really compatible with one another. So after a few months, then talaq was given. So now, they did it for the pleasure of Allah. They did it for the pleasure of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah wanted to break that custom totally, absolutely, completely. That an adopted son is not like a biological son. If you have a biological son and he is married to his wife, then you, the father-in-law, you can't marry her. So you must remember this. So, because it's your son's wife, you see, your daughter-in-law. So you can't marry her. It's haram that Quran says. So, Aba'inna o Aba'ibulatinna, Surah 24, verse 31. So now, in the case of adopted son, it's permissible. You see that? Because it's not your real son. So, Allah wanted to show Ibtalu Tabanni. That to make iftal and nullify and abolish and demolish that whole custom, that you can't be making a person and adopting such a manner like the Western system today, you see, where they inherit and so forth and all like that. So Islam came. So now Zayd radiallahu anhu is cut off from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no more Zayd bin Muhammad. So Allah says, never mind, that we will elevate your rank. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَتَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا So Zayd's name is mentioned. And Sayyidah Zainab, you are a paragon of beauty that everybody in this world, their father, grandfather, brother, somebody performed their nikah. We will perform your nikah. Allah Jalla wa said, زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا We perform your nikah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to her. To Sayyidah Zainab binti Jahsh radiallahu anha. So see how Allah elevates people, you see. So today people want to harm you, they want to do this and so forth. But what happens? وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ Allah gives honor to who He wishes. Allah disgraces whoever He wishes. You see that? So that's a great, great lesson for us, remember. When you read Quran, you will be motivated, inspired so many times. Go read Surah 33 and verse 37 and you will see the incident. So that is her distinction, her unique feature. Sayyida Zainab binti Jahsh radiallahu anha. She used to tell the Azwaj Mutahharat, the co-wives, your father, grandfather perform your nikah. And my nikah, Zawwajani Allahu Jalla Jalaluhu Fawqa Sab'i Samawat. Allah perform my nikah above the sky, seven skies and so forth. You see? So that is there. Then, so that is the first nikah. Now they met, everything is done now. The nikah is solemnized, the mahar is paid. Now husband, wife can enjoy. Now Allah speaks of that. Surah 49, verse 13. Ya ayyuha an-nas, O humankind, inna khalaqnakum min zakarin wa unsa. Zakarin, zakar you both. You have one male, one female, we created you. Waja'alnakum shu'uba wa qabaila lita'arafu. And we made you into nations and tribes so you recognize one another. So somebody is Chinese, somebody is white, somebody is pink, somebody is black, somebody is brown, somebody is yellow, whatever, you see. So, لِتَعَارَفُ You recognize one another. But by Allah, what is the real criteria? إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ Verily, the most noble of you by Allah are the one who have the greatest taqwa. So first is Islam, that's the external. Then it's Iman that enters the inner recesses of our heart. Then is taqwa, that to stay away from all the vices and sins, fulfill the rights of Allah and creation simultaneously. So like that, so now you go higher and higher and higher. Just juxtapose, draw a comparison. One person so dark, a slave, a pauper basically. One person a chief and very, very rich and so handsome, nighttime you could see him. But he is dispatched to Jahannam, remember that. Who is that? So that is Abu Lahab. You see that Abdul Uzza. So chapter 111. So he is Chacha, uncle of Nabi alayhi salam. Fair in complexion, nighttime you could see him. You see that? But ma aghna anhu ma'aluhu wa ma kasab. And remember his wealth, his children, nobody could help him. His wife also another haramiya, shaitan. So you see? So Umme Jamil, so she also Hammalat al-Hatab, getting the thorns and all that, placing it in the road of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and whatever. So that's one meaning, there are other meanings also. So anyway, so all that she was doing. So Allah Ta'ala dispatched them and told them in their lifetime that now you're going straight to Jahannam. You see that? Husband and wife, imagine. So and after the Battle of Badr, then he was killed, he died and all that. And he landed up in Jahannam. You take other side, he said, Bilal radiallahu anhu. Bilal bin Rabah al-Habashi, the African. And remember, he becomes Muazzinu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Muazzin of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Waziru Ma'adihi, and the Minister of Finance as well. So that is Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. He rendered Azan in Madinah Munawwarah. Rendered the Azan there in Makkah, on top of the Kaaba Musharrafah, on the occasion of Fatih Makkah. In the 16th year of the Hijrah, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu conquered Palestine, then he was there. Who? Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah. Sayyidina Umar instructed him to give azan. He said, you know, I said I won't give azan after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam. Sayyidina Umar told him, if the Master alayhi salam was here today, he should have told you to give azan. So he climbed the wall and he gave azan. How the Sahaba cried. All the memories flooded back, you see. So all that happens, then he's buried there. Subhanallah, Qudrat ka Karishma, both Muazzins. Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah al-Habashi and Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum. Chapter number 80, Abasa wa Tawalla and Jawl A'ma, the blind Sahabi Muazzin, but in Madinah Munawwara Masjid Nabawi, but buried in Babu Saghir. In Damascus, both the Sahaba, both Muazzin are buried. So this is how Allah gives Izzat honor. Whether you dark in complexion, whether you fair in complexion, Islam, Iman, Taqwa, all that are vital ingredients. Then that person will be successful. Otherwise, how many examples there are? There's Abu Lahab, there's Abu Jahl, there's Abu Talib, there's Walid bin Mughira. And the Uqba bin Umi Mu'mait and so forth. So all of them dispatched to Jahannam and the hellfire. So we must be very clear on these issues. It's not our external features, it's what we have inside our heart. And we have to be steadfast and the struggle must continue day and night.
Mufti Saab, with regards to Mahar, can Mufti Saab please clarify what are the differences amongst the four schools with regards to Mahar?
Remember, first and foremost, before we enter the differences among the fuqaha and jurors, why should a Muslim person pay mahar? I told you last week when we discussed the definition of nikah and sururu shaharin, 1 month's happiness, waluzumu maharin, you must pay the mahar, the marital gift. Wasn't translated as dowry, it got Christian connotation there. And then, whole life, then you got worried that my daughter, my son, my wife, my death, you see. And then, وَقُسُورُ زَهْرٍ, then your back also goes into ruku, you know. وَقُوْغَرِي, whenever we say, in Mammon. And then, وَنُزُولُ قَبْرٍ, and then we bury the person in the grave, you see that. So that is what he said, is the definition of nikah, in Ali radiallahu anhu arda. So the question arises, why must we pay mahar? Monana, you paid 1,000 rand mahar. I paid 41 rand mahar. We paid mahar. Does that people pay 100,000, 50,000? So why must we pay mahar? It's a valid question. So you must say you're paying mahar for various reasons. One is you are going to be sleeping with this lady and you'll be enjoying yourself. You'll be deflowering her and so forth and so on. So you can't expect all that to happen free of charge. No pay, no play. You see that? So that's one reason. Second reason, and Quran makes reference to that. وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْدُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ How can you take the mahar back and all that? But you went into one another, you enjoyed with one another, all these things. You see that? So that, and then second one is, look at the sacrifice she made. That I'm in Heidelberg, right? And that's my hometown. And when I married, I was still in Heidelberg. And then remember that she's from Durban. She left Durban. She left her place of her birth, her parents, her siblings. And you know, the environment she was accustomed to, her female friends, all that, just to spend the remainder of her life with me. Is that not a big sacrifice? Very, very big. Therefore, when I deliver lectures, I say, you husband, you the groom, husband-to-be, you mustn't pay mahar only now. Every week, every month, you should pay mahar. You see that? So that is what Islam teaches us, remember that. Without her asking, just give her. Chayb kharch, you understand? Pocket money. And don't ask what you did, you see this? So just overlook it, finish and all that. She'll save the money, she'll use the money, whatever she wants with it. So that is now what Islam teaches for mahar. And third one, you must remember, it is sense of security. Nobody knows. We all know when we were born. I ask you, Mozaid, when you were born, you say 91, 92, 93, whatever. You ask me when I was born, I'll say 70 years ago, Ramadan, you see that, Islamically, so in that way. So our birth date we know, but our death date we don't know. Anybody knows? Nobody knows. When we know when we're going to die. When we know where we're going to die. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسُمْ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ Nobody knows. So therefore, it is a sense of security. She just got married, and then after 6 months, 1 year, then husband passed away, sickness, accident. Now what? You understood? So when you gave the mahar to her, at least she has some security by her. You see that? Study the greatest, most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah, Azza wa Jalla, and who? That is Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you see Khwaja Abdullah, he married Sayyida Amina, the beloved parents of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And they were living happily, you understood? And then he told Hazrat Amina, that is Khwaja Abdullah, me, I have to go now, some business trip and all that. So she said, okay. Then he even told her, when I come back, then the new news will come, that we're returning, you must dress nicely and everything, you see. And then the news came that he passed away. What was her age? The mother of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam has become a widow now. 16 years old. How old? 16 years old. Imagine so long she still would love. And now that she must be 16, and she's a widow already. So now what the security? So the mahar becomes the security. How many incidents we know today that the marriage didn't last, divorce took place or death took place, but divorce also. So this will be one sense of security for her. Therefore me, I always encourage. Last week I was there in Durban, in Vellum, I had to perform a nikah. So that mota, I don't know where he disappeared, the wakil. Half an hour we had to wait for him, you see. But anyway, I gave a talk and all that. And then perform the nikah and so forth. Anyway, so cut long story short. So in a case like that, I asked this boy, you taking the lay-by or you taking same time? He said, no, same time. I said, that's the one I like. That you must get married, take your wife same time. No lay-by business. Pay now and then come pick up afterwards and all that after 3 months, 6 months, all that. Say, jaiz, but best is to take same time. You must remember that. And because your nikah is done now, so you must remember, so that is why you can permissible to touch her, kiss her, smooch her, everything, you see that. So all these issues there, we should know about it and so forth. You can defer it and delay it, but better is you pay it, and that is how you fulfill your responsibilities.
Mufti Sahib, when you look at the nikah of other religions, and we look at the nikah of Islam, what can we say about the Muslim way of getting married?
First and foremost, you must take Islam and Catholic Church. You see, the Pope and them. So they practice on what they call celibacy. What is celibacy? They don't get married, you see. And then the women, they become nuns. They become a novice, they become a nun. This guy becomes a priest, he becomes a bishop, he becomes cardinal, he becomes this, they become a pope. You see that? And then, when you study their history, you will find the pedophilia, the worst in the world, in the Christian church, you must remember. Because Allah created us with this, shahwatul batn and shahwatul farj. We all have desires, you see that? We want to eat, we want to drink, we want to fulfill our lust and desires. So Islam brought about the divine system. Therefore, it is such a sacred system. It will continue, this institution will continue even in the year after. وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. So you get married, you see both parties are getting fat now. Husband is getting fat, he's eating kari khichdi, he's eating akne, he's eating biryani, and his wife is a good cook also. So his weight is increasing. And you're busy giving her vaccine and so forth and so on. So she conceives, you understood. So now, so she's also increasing. So she's pregnant and you're enjoying. So that is, you must, the natural way to remain pure and to remain chaste and so forth. So you must remember that. So that is what Islam is teaching us. That to save. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that who will end up in Jahannam? So you must remember that. So those people will end up in Jahannam, that are Al-Famu wal-Farju, the two openings. And what are the two openings? So remember that, the mouth and the private part, you see. So today the mouth, what they say, freedom of expression. They just swear people, they just slander people, they make propaganda against people. Or, and their private part, they just park anywhere, see Trump. Parking in their 10-year-old girl, 11-year-old girl, 12, 13, 14-year-old girl, you see. His whole history, geography is coming back to haunt him, you must know. And the most humiliated, disgraced president in the history of America is him, the DT, Donald Trump, you must remember this kind of thing. So this is all the problems you have. So Islam says that no, you have to guard your private part. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the dua, a sahih hadith in Musnad Ahmad. Allahumma hassin farji, ya Allah, fortify, protect my private part, for the male and female. See, something to do with tafsir. That when you study tafsir of the Noble Quran, Allah jalla wa ala spoke about theft and all that there. Wasariqu wasariqatu, faqtahu aydihuma. When the male steals and the female steals and they are found guilty, they admit it, there are no mitigating circumstances, all that. So then you must amputate their hand from the wrist, it means, right? The Shia say you must cut off the fingers. So that's wrong tafsir, that you must cut the hand off. That is what the A'imah. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّمَ الذُّكُورَ عَلَى الْإِنَاثِ. Allah mentioned the male first and then the female. Even today, if you look, who are the biggest crooks, the male or the female? You'll see it's the male. You understood? But when it came to zina, then in chapter 24, Surah Nur, verse 2, Allah Ta'ala mentioned it the other way around. Azaniyatu wa zani, fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma miyatajalla. The female is mentioned first and then the male. Today, when they catch people for prostitution, does that who they punish? They punish the woman or they punish the male? Who normally they punish?
Male.
They punish the female. So you must remember these things. Yeah? Mm. There it is. So how many times you will see, because she's one, she's doing all these things there. The customers will go away because they paid her. You see that? So you must remember that. So they are the ones who entice you. How are you? So handsome you look, this, that. And they will speak to you in their seductive tone. They will flirt with you. So you see, because the initial steps are taken by her. So therefore, Quran says, Azaniya to Azani. So both parties get punished, but more so it's worse for her. Because you must remember that now she lost the virginity. She can't remember how many men she slept, how many women are involved in that. So this today, you take our Muslim countries today. Bangladesh is one of the biggest brothels in the world. Morocco and all these things here. For what you think so many people go to Morocco? They don't go for sightseeing and they're busy there, catching fish, two-legged fish, you understand? So all these type of things are happening, you must remember. So every Muslim country today has got some form of prostitution and thirst and all these type of things there, you see. But it's undercover. But it happens, so you must remember that. So that is why Islam teaches us that. So see, I teach you something, you ask about that. If you study Islam, every avenue for nikah, Islam made it easy, 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 easy. Inna a'zaman nikahi baraka aysaruhu ma'una, which is the one where the least expenditure is incurred. So every door, every road, every path that leads to nikah, Allah open, make easy for you. And for zina, fornication, adultery, Allah made it difficult. You see that? So every time you want to try, there is this obstacle, there is that impediment, there is that obstruction, and all these type of things there. You see that? So Islam made it that zina and fornication, adultery and gay business must become something difficult to do in a true Muslim society. But nikah must be done easily. So we must promote it. Nobody must have excuse that I'm poor and I'm thus and I'm thus and all that. We there to help you. Allah say we will help you. إِيَّكُونُ فُقَرَاءَ يُهْنِيمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. You see. So now you see how the Hindus perform. They invoke the name of their idols and so forth and so on. Then you see the Jutlas, how they perform, you must remember. Before, I was a very, very young boy. You know, but sometimes I used to go to our shop. Our shop, I'm speaking about then the locations. Our house in front, shop, our shop in front and house at the back. So, and my father and them put like from the back one door. So from the house, from the back, you could just enter the shop. You didn't have to come from the front, you see. So that is the one we used to use. So sometimes I used to just go play there. I still remember the Jutla's name. He used to come and take orders there by my father, my brother and them. Arthur Goldberg, that was his name. Arthur Goldberg, you see. I can still picture him, proper Jutla, you understand. He used to wear like a white suit, safari suit. And but short pants he used to wear, sometimes summer, sometimes long pants. And he speak, he know how to speak, you know. Good salesman and that, he knew how to make money. And that every month he used to come and that. So something happened about marriage, you know, understood. So now he was going to get married and thus and thus and thus. So afterwards they wished him well, like what, I'm small, lighty, what, I don't know. I don't think I even shook his hand any time. So this time, so anyway, So he said, yes, I supposed to get married, but then everything got cancelled. Say, Subhanallah, before you get married, it got cancelled. Now what happened? He said, we could not agree on the terms of, understand, what happens that in case they divorce, then how much she can claim from me and how much I can claim from her, and what will be the terms of separation. So before they get married, they already worried about what will happen when they get divorced. See? So the Jutras are like that. Why? Because they said the haramis, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولًا. They said Allah Ta'ala is very stingy. So Allah Ta'ala said, يَدُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولًا. Allah Ta'ala said, غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا. They are cursed because of what they said. And Allah Ta'ala fastened their hands, Allah made them stingy. Therefore, if you know Afrikaans, the poorer, poorer, it taught us a lot of things, you know. Some nice sayings, in months a dwert, another months a brood. And there was a khuya jwert, is a dwaya jwert. A good Jew is a dead Jew. And they said, you are here so sainach, nets was a jwert. You are so stingy, just like a Jew. You see that? So that is what is all those things happening there. So that's how they making all these things there. You must have the sunset clause. You know the sunset clause. So when the marriage is going to finish, then how things will be distributed. You see, what is mine, what is yours, let's put everything now in pen and paper. So you're getting married, but you're already worried about the divorce. You're getting married, you're already worried about the death. You see, like that they are, the Jutas, Haramis. So in Islam, everything is straightforward. You must remember, you get married, somebody dies, the laws of inheritance will take over. You understood? Today, this Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they consider it fashionable. they consider it acceptable. They must take out, you must remember, life insurance with this company, ABC company, XYZ company, all these kind of things. All right? So now the question arises after 1 year, 5 years early, that husband passed away, wife passed away, father passed away, mother passed away, whatever you want to call them. So in a case like that, now what will happen? You must remember that to that inheritance and the child and so forth and so on. So it's straightforward, you must remember that if there's a child, children, husband died, so then you must remember that 12.5% goes to the wife, remainder to the children. If the parents of the deceased are there, you get 1/3, 1/6, 1/6. And if the she passes away, that is the wife, then the husband will get 25% and remainder to the children. If the parents are there, you get 1/3, 1/6, 1/6. But so that sequence, first burial, funeral expenses, then the deaths of the deceased, then wasiyah, what that person had bequeathed, and maximum 1/3 for non-heirs, and the fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. So today, see how people, they're fighting already. The father is not even buried, and they say, this guy is mine, this property is mine, this is mine, this is mine. So all this shows that we as parents did not make tarbiyah. We didn't nurture our children enough. We didn't give them that quality time. Because we're busy with the phone ourselves. We're busy, must remember, all the haram things, the TV and us and all these type of issues. So therefore, we should understand that in Islam, whatever Allah gave us, that is the best. So in Islam, you see, the checks and balances. The girl can't get married on her own. La nikaha illa bi waliin. Then you need 2 male witnesses. You see. So what is all that? To protect the integrity, to protect the virginity, to protect the family and their izzat and their honor and so. So see how many things Islam took into consideration. You understood? So nobody can point a finger, hey, what you doing with that woman there? Said, A'alinun nikah, announce the nikah, waj'aluhu fil masajid, perform it in the masjid, and so forth and so on. So these are the checks and balances that Islam took. Nobody got all that there, you must remember, especially in this day. This day when I went to Italy and all that. So my brother Abdullah took me around in Venice, you see. I asked him, I see all these churches are closed. He said, only open twice. Once is when you want to get married and once when they die. Otherwise, it just remains closed. You see that? And that also, half of them don't worry. Because why? They don't get married. They just check in. Check in, they just live in as lovers. So that's the modern day society, the democratic society, the secular society, the capitalistic society. Marriage is something outdated. It passed its sell-by date. You see that? So that is the modern world. You must remember that. Islam says no, marriage is sacrosanct. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجْعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجُ وَذُرِّيَا. Every Nabi got married. Nabi Isa alayhi salam is not married. When he comes back, he'll get married. He'll have 2 sons. Besides him, Nabi Yahya alayhi salam didn't get married. وَحَسُورًا وَنَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. But 99.9 Anbiya prophets got married. So it shows. So that is our Islamic system. And the kuffar way is just put your pack your rifle wherever you want to. You see that? Then afterwards you have to go for rifle repairs. You see? Like Trump and all of them. That. Now you have to start covering up, pay this one, pay this one, pay that one, pay this one. So this is how Allah gave us such a beautiful system. And that system, with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah, is the best. And we want to share it with the rest, basically.
Mufti Sahib, there's a question here. My husband passed away. Wife remarries after a few years. Now in Jannah, who will she be with?
There are 2 answers to that. If you look at the hadith in Tabarani, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, Ma'a akhri azwajiha, that she will be with the last husband. So she was with the first husband 20, 30 years. She had 2-3 children. And now she's with the second husband and all that, you see. So now Allah alone knows that when he will pass away or when she will. So but which husband she will be with? So the last husband. That's the hadith. Some other hadiths say, you understand, the husband that treated her better. So she will be with that husband. Or she will be given the choice. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. That you want to be with this one or that one. She can't say I want to be with both, obviously. So that you will say, oh, we must be with one husband, you see. So that is how Almighty Allah will then pass the verdict as she wants it to be. So that all these are options that will be, inshallah, available to her.
Mufti Saab, with regards to children and growing up children, how should the husband and the wife, how should they cooperate together to bring up pious children?
Remember, the big easiest way to bring up pious children, and that is you, the father, you, the mother, you must be the example to them. So today, what example we are? Let us be honest. So where is the mother? Half the time she's watching the TV, the other half the time she's gone to the mall to meet Paul, shopping, there's this. So what signals? You must remember these babies and children, small tiny thoughts, they got small, small eyes, small, small ears, but everything they can see and everything they can hear. And that have an indelible mark and impression on them, understand it? Small, small eyes, small, small ears, but they know what's going on. You must remember that. And then you see the men, what they doing? They working, going to the shop, going to job. Weekend come, they want to play golf. If you can golf, they're going to play, Allah alone knows, play golf with a two-legged one, or they're going to play proper golf and all that. Or they're going fishing and so forth. We don't know which type of fishing, like that. So like that, you must remember that there are so many, so many issues there. So it's better for you that what you do. So you must remember in a case like that, that you must make effort also, and you must be the example also, and you must make dua also. How you know it? See, both ways. Children, you must read the dua. رَبِّرْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Ya Allah, have mercy on them, my parents, as they nurtured me. Who's they? رَبَّيَانِ. You know Arabic. رَبَّيَانِ is what? It's tathniya, it's dual. As both of them made my tarbiyat. So it's not the mother's duty only to say that I must bring up my child. It's not the father's duty to say. Therefore, Sheikh Sabuni, in that book we spoke about yesterday, is a wonderful book. He spoke about hukuk, the rights, husband's rights, wife's rights. So he said, before we go to husband's rights and go to wife's rights, we must go to al-hukukul mushtaraka. Those rights that are for both parties. Both parties must love one another. Both parties must address one another with love and respect. Both parties have to be loyal to one another. Both parties, remember, have to, like, you know, make decisions together, mashura and put the shahurin and so. Like that, he gave examples, you see. So now, yeah, we just say my rights is no. There are certain things that are dual. It works for both parties. So like the example I gave. So same thing in bringing up the children. It's not only the wife's duty. It's your duty as well as the husband, as the father now. It's your child. It was a male child. It didn't fall from the sky or something. So normally the people, they say that, no, we want a lot of wealth. We want a lot of children. So sometimes, you know, we got time or it's our family members, they're out in Jamaat or whatever. So I tell them, yeah, I'll give you a nice dua, you must read it, then you'll get it directly. So they ask, them, what's the dua? So I read for them. رَبَّنَا أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ تَكُونُ لَنَا عِيدًا لِأَوَّلِنَا وَآخِرِنَا وَآيَةً مِّنْكَ. So Allah Ta'ala send down the food, everything from the skies. So it will be a lesson for us and joy occasion for those who are present and for the generations to come. But that is mu'jiza, it's miracle that. It won't happen for me and you every week or every day and all that. So we must be very clear on these issues here. Yeah? So that is what the parents must do, a joint effort, you see, which we are lacking today, 90%. And second one, what must you do for your children? I call that the C syndrome. You're a father, you know, so what you do? When I say you, I don't mean you per se. We mean what you do as a Muslim parent generally. That the first thing, clothing for the child. Then the child grows up, then gets cell phone. So he's crying too much, give him cell phone. You see that? Then he grows up, now he's talking, walking, running, all that. So now he wants money, cash. So from clothing, then it went to cell phone, then it went to cash, you see. Then he grew up, now he knows what technology, bring the CD, you see. So now you want the CD, now you want to hear. What is the new year? We don't know. I told you last week what happened. Thursday, we will end the day in Durban. From Joburg, we left 3 o'clock. And we were there 10 past 4, quarter past 4. So this white lady, 4 or 5 years old. So I didn't see a father, mother with him, but anyway, he was alone, it seemed. Allah alone knows. But the air hostess was there near him. So anyway, so now he walks. You understood? This lady, 4 or 5 years old, white lady, handsome. And now when you land there in King Shaka Airport, the one day he's playing the guitar like this. Whenever I land there, I see him there, you see. So we just walk past quickly. That lady started the jives, you see. 4 years, he's in a groove, he's in a mood now. He's in the groove, you see. Whose groove? Jacob Zuma's. You know Jacob Zuma, he got this special dancing there. And then he gives that laugh. After that jive of his, you see that? So that is their style. So he went into that groove, you see. And he's in that mood now. So even his head also, he doesn't know. Because he's already gone, you must remember that. He's gone in that trance, you must remember. He's like hypnotized already. Small, masoom lighty, you see. So that is now. So we gave them clothes. We gave them that, the cell phones. We gave them cash. We gave them CD. Now they grow up. We give them car. You see that? And before he get his car, now he's in school, he's in high school, he goes for a cherry, you see that? So now he got his cherry, he got his girlfriend, so they call her cherry. Then the time comes to buy a car, so he buys the car, also another cherry. The car's name today is cherry, you know, like that. So you see, you call that syndrome, C syndrome. But when we study the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that the emphasis is you should be teaching your child, you see, you as a father, you as a mother. Ma nahala walidun waladan nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. That the greatest gift you can give to your children is good character. Let us be honest, take 100 families, it's just easy percentage wise. Take 100 families. Anywhere in the world. I must tell you a nice story, you understand, about what happened to me. So, if you put it down on a percentage scale, how many percent of parents, father, mother, both of them, one, are really concerned about the adab, the respect, the manners, the morals, the character of their child? How many percent? Muslims?
5 to 10%.
You won't even get more than 10%. You took the words out. You understand? They're very happy as long as the child is there. He got the cell phone, he got the car, he got his cherry, he's got this. So they're happy, finish. That character and all that, they'll call you orthodox and backward, and that you're living in ancient history, you're living in the time of Takyanus, you understand? A Ashabi Kaf time you're living in. So that is how the Muslim, when a Muslim thinks like that, then what you expect? You know, I got a very like curious mind also, but Allah's help. So one day I came out of Masjid Nabawi. That time all these big buildings were in there. So I always wondered, what is that very smart building in front, white building, you know. So like a big shot, I went there. So they told me it's the Mahkamah, Al-Mahkamatul Kubra, the Supreme Court. And that was that time that there's laws here. They said South Africa is going to have personal law and this and this. So the one guy asked me, what do you want here? So he shouted me. I said, no, don't shout me. I'm looking, I want to speak to a Qazi. He said, you can't just come here and say you want to speak to a Qazi. Who the hell are you? I said, Papa, listen to me nicely. I'm a guest from South Africa, and we got this problem there in South Africa. He said, oh, is that so? I said, yes. He said, wait, sit here, I'll bring a Qazi for you. So then we sat. They brought the Qazi. I don't know what. So we start speaking. So the Qazi also got a shock. I'm from South Africa, and speaking Arabic. And you know, he could make out that little bit. We know Quran, Hadith, all that. Certain things like that. They get very fascinated when you speak English and that, you know. They suffer from that, you know, inferiority complex. West is the best and white is right and all that, you see. So all that went. So then we went on to, this is what I want to tell you. So I asked him, Ya Fadilatul Qazi, Ya Fadilatul Sheikh, what is your people's divorce rate here in Saudi Arabia? He said 40%. In those days, I asked him, Amma fil Madina? He said, everywhere, fil Madina, Makkah, Riyadh, Jeddah, Dammam, everywhere 40%, that's minimum. Or akthar, or even more. So now, when you look at it, how can you have a 40% minimum divorce rate in a country, like in a place like Makkah, Madina, our holiest places? It shows that something is definitely wrong. I mean, if you got five marriages, every second marriage is breaking. That's 40%. You see that? So, and today must be more, because you see people's internet and this and this and all these type of things there. So the parents are failing in their priorities. Hardly you will find a Muslim parent who's in. I ask them a question. You as a father, when last did you speak to your daughter on a one-to-one? Oh, Beti, oh, Ladli, oh, Sahibzadi, let me give you some golden advices. وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ Surah Luqman. Luqman radiallahu anhu was dark in complexion, African. But Allah revealed it so that it's a lesson for humanity, posterity. Ya Bunayya, Ya Bunayya. He's giving advices to his son. So you as a father, when lies you set with your daughter and that? The only thing we do, make tea, make this, bring this, bring this. That's all. Just keep on shouting and the dictator came home, you see. You mother, when last you sat with your son and you really gave advice? My mother used to sit with me, you know. Therefore, when we think of even today, we cry. Say, what beautiful advice that she gave me. She told me that she knew me, I'm very, very aggressive. You know, from young age, she knew that this guy is very aggressive. You understood? So this type of things there. My wife told me, that afterwards she told me. Now, we just got married and we went to Karachi, you see. So then my mother told her, make sure the meals are ready on time. Otherwise, this guy will blow his gasket. You must remember that, you see. So she used to make sure 100% everything is on time, you see. So like that. So the mother knows you better than anybody else. So like that. So the one sentence she told me always, because she knew that this guy is a little bit there. So she said, Jo namyo Allah ke gamyo. You see, it rhymes. Jo namyo Allah ke gamyo. The one who becomes humble, then he is beloved by Allah. So get out of that habit of yours. It's not good everywhere. Somewhere is good, but not everywhere, you see. So bring that humility also and so forth. Don't be like that always, you see. When we play soccer, I must win. We play cricket, I must win. We play tennis, I must win. Otherwise, you can donor you also. So it was like that when we were small, you see. That day winning, we take the ball and run away. You know? So you see, tomorrow the match will continue. So like that it was. So she picked it up very early. So see, now the example I'm giving, that how many of us today really worry? Let's give some good advice, sound advice to our don't talk nonsense. They say wasting time. Say just tell them the Molana will do that. Is the Molana's duty or is your duty? See, that is where we are failing hopelessly today. Therefore you find, you know, when I used to teach in Darul Newcastle, I could tell you straight away after 1 week, this guy comes from a good family or this guy comes from a broken family. Because why? Most of them came from broken families. Father is missing, mother is missing, both are missing. And he landed up in Darul Uloom. And then you call the guy, say, explain to me what's your history and geography. Then sometimes they speak, you also will cry. You don't understand? So that how much difficulty and then they went. So it's like that. So we must do that. So the children also then will appreciate their parents. How many students? Now I told you yesterday what happened. Yesterday. That it was dark here for that time, you know, Sufi masjid. So I take a little bit long, you know, and my eyes are closed, making zikr, this and that. I give that hadith. Suddenly one guy came and took my hand and he kissed it and all this. Yesterday in Darul Zakariya, one Maulana came, you understood? So he came there and he hugged me and us and all, kissed me on my forehead and kissed me on my neck and kissed me. I was wondering what's happening here. On my hand and all that. I said, yeesh, I don't know, this guy is kissing me so many times here. So even I'm surprised, like, you understand? So like that it is. But you tell them something, that time maybe they didn't like it. But afterwards, when you think about it, then you say, no, that guy was right, you know. He's trying to tell me something good, but in my arrogance, I didn't want to accept it. You see that? So students, when they become teachers, then they realize, said, that guy told us that one student, he said, I must read it out. I got it in my phone. He said, tell the listeners how you used to call us passengers. He said that you used to call us passengers, that's why we became something today. You understood? Like Alash Kashmiri used to call the final year students, Ayu al-Jahilun. Oh, you idiots, what you're doing here studying hadith? You used to call them Ayu al-Jahilun. Today you try it and see. You understood? So they will blow their gaskets and all. But he was building them up. That's why you got Allama bin Nuri. That's how you got Maulana Badr Alam. That's how you got Mufti Shafi Sahab. That's how you got Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usman. They're all students of Allama and Kashmiri. Hmm. But he called them Jahilun. You see that? So that is the things we must learn.
We say Jazakumullah Khairan to Mufti Sahab and to all our listeners. From us and the team, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.